10. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies. She said, Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water."
In ancient Israel, in the tribal lands of Ephraim, there was a man by the name of Elkanah. Elkanah was a good man, and he was a godly man. He led his family to making the annual sacrifices to God at a place called Shiloh. Elkanah lived in a time in which it was not uncommon for men to have more than one wife, and Elkanah had two wives. One wife's name was Peninnah. Peninnah had several children, and Elkanah treated her well. But Elkanah also had another wife, whose name was Hannah. Hannah had no children. And the Bible tells us that Hannah was loved by Elkanah. Each year, at the time of sacrifice, Elkanah would take both his wives and Peninnah's children up to Shiloh to make sacrifices to God as God had prescribed in his law. And while they were there, Peninnah would every year provoke and irritate Hannah because she had no children. It may be as well that she irritated and provoked Hannah because she knew that while Elkanah treated her, Peninnah, well, that he loved Hannah. Having a boy was something important in that particular culture and really in cultures all around, because having a boy provided a father with an heir to carry on his name. This was important to men. It was important in the culture. And so for a wife to be able to produce a male child to her husband was an honor to her, and she gained honor through her husband. She'd provided a male heir to carry on the family name. But while Peninnah could lay claim to that, Hannah could not. In fact, in that culture, a woman who was unable to bear a child was considered cursed by God. What a heavy burden for a woman to carry. To believe spiritually that she was cursed by God for not having a child. That in some way, for some reason, God chose to prevent her from having a child. And then on top of that, because that was the widespread belief, to carry the social stigma that went with that. Here is one amongst us in our community who has been cursed by God. There's something wrong with her. There's something impure with her. There's something spiritually wrong with her. What a heavy burden to carry. And so each time they went up to sacrifice at Shiloh, every year, Hannah knew what to expect. And it seems that it grew no better as year after year went by. It just layered burden after burden, year after year, of humiliation and heartache on Hannah. And so we find that she would weep to such a point that she could not even eat It says that in bitterness of soul, Hannah prayed to God for a boy. In fact, it came to a point where she prayed to God that if he would give her a boy, she vowed that she would give that boy back to serve God. How desperately she wanted the honor of childbearing in order to honor her husband. How intensely she wanted a boy. And how sacrificially she vowed to God. Can you imagine wanting a child so much that you would make the kind of vow that Hannah made? I suspect there are some women here this morning who have felt that way. Not for the same reasons, necessarily, but you felt much that same way. I wonder what kind of vows you may have made to God in order for Him to bless you with a child, whether male or female, just a child. And so Hannah prayed silently, but she mouthed her prayer. And the priest Eli saw that, and he thought that she was drunk. But Hannah replied to him that she was pouring out her soul to God in great anguish and grief. If you've been in her position, you understand that full well. But none of us can if we have not been in that position. And so Eli wished her peace and God's blessing. And God, within the next year, blessed Hannah as she gave birth to a boy child who she named Samuel. God blessed Hannah because of her sacrificial faith in Him. She was willing to give up the thing that was the most precious to her, to give it back to God if He would but bless her with that opportunity. But God blessed Hannah with this child named Samuel also because Samuel was part of God's plans. We should never get the idea that because Hannah poured out her soul in bitterness and grief, that God is going to bless every woman without a child with a child. Can you imagine the kind of joy and pride that Elkanah and Hannah had in Samuel? Finally, after a long time, Hannah had a child, and a boy child. But can you imagine also their sadness, knowing that they would not have the pleasure and the joy of raising him? It's almost more than Hannah could have bared, don't you think? After all, she's wanted this child for so long. She's made such a drastic, seemingly, vow to God. And to know that there's going to be a period of time while she weans him, that she'll have him. And after that, she'll not raise him. So when he was about 5, the time period at which a child was weaned, Hannah took Samuel and some sacrifices along with Elkanah and the rest of the family when they went down for the annual sacrifices at Shiloh. And so then she sacrificed Samuel to Eli, for Eli to raise and to serve God. Could you give your only child to another person to raise? Now, some of you probably have. Something has occurred in your life, something beyond your control perhaps. You reached a point where you just simply could not or did not feel it would be wise for you to raise your own child. And with great stirrings within you. You gave your child to someone that you felt could raise them better than you could. Hannah is among really a throng of mothers who sacrificed their sons. Moses' mother, as was read earlier, sacrificed her son, a living sacrifice, to the daughter of the Pharaoh of Egypt. And as that story unfolds, it seems to be the will of God. And Moses served God in mighty ways, legendary ways that live on down to our time. But that does not by any means salve the fact that she did not fully raise him in her home with her husband and with their family. And Elizabeth sacrificed her son John the Baptist. She sacrificed him to the work that God had called him to. She sacrificed him perhaps not knowing what his end would be or how soon it would come or under what kind of circumstances. But she sacrificed him nonetheless to serve God. And then there was Mary, who had the opportunity, the blessed opportunity, to raise her son, Jesus. But she too would have to sacrifice him one day. For Elizabeth and for Mary, these were sacrifices that seemed to have occurred, at least for Mary, if not for Elizabeth, during their lifetimes. And some of you have experienced the loss of a child in your lifetime, a loss to death. And only you understand the pain of that. Giving her only son to Eli, Hannah prayed to God in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. She said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who is barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, and he has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." You cannot avoid noticing the fact that Hannah's prayer focuses on praise and trust in a triumphant God who sees those who are needy, those who are without, those who are hungering, as Hannah was, so deeply for a child. Those who trust in God, those who revel, who rejoice in the God who saves, in the God who provides, in the God who triumphs. And yet, you will notice something else if you look closely, and that is that Hannah says nothing of her sorrow nor of her sacrifice. There is no wailing, "Oh Lord, how have you done this to me? Oh Lord, have you no mercy on me that you would not take into account the fact that I was in deep distress when I made this vow to you? Will you not relent and let me have this child?" There's nothing of that. This is a woman of prayer, of godliness, of commitment. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me." Here was a woman whose prayers were powerful, whose prayers were exemplary. And how many of us here today have had a mother who has prayed for us far beyond our knowledge? And yet, as some of you have said at times, you feel those prayers. You know those prayers are going up to God because you know your mother. You know her to be a woman of prayer. And so when Samuel was given to Eli, we're told that right then, at the age of 5, Samuel has been raised in such a way by Elkanah and his mother Hannah that right then, at age 5, he worshiped God. How many 5-year-olds have you seen that have been so raised by their parents that they worship God? Oh, I suppose in their own ways, not like an adult. But what does that say of the raising that this woman, Hannah, had given to her child? He honored his mother's wishes. He didn't beg to go back home with her. And so it was that he grew spiritually and he served God with Eli's training. Since the beginning of time, mothers have sacrificed their children, be they male or female. They've sacrificed them to the care of others, like teachers. How hard it is for that mother to let her child go off that first day to school, isn't it? It seems hard for the child, but the mother is the one with the trembling lips. The mother is the one who wants to follow him to make sure that everything's going to be okay. They've sacrificed their children to their children's independence, which starts all too early, doesn't it? You know, like, me do it at age 2. And it only increases and gets worse by the time that they're teenagers, huh? They've sacrificed them to the love of a spouse and then to their own children. And those are hard sacrifices for a mother. They don't call it the empty nest syndrome for nothing. They've sacrificed them to jobs and distances. And they've sacrificed them to military service. And sometimes within that, to death. For all of those sacrifices, after all they have given, don't they deserve our honor? Mothers deserve our honor for sacrificing their own bodies and their health just in order to give birth to us. It's not been all that long ago in our nation's history that it was common for not only a child to die in childbirth, but for a mother to die with it, or not long after. They said they deserve our honor for having sacrificed their time and their care, and their interests, and their lives in raising us. We may not think of those as sacrifices, but let me tell you, we live in an era today where it's a very real sacrifice. When women have the opportunity to be educated equal to men, and to have jobs equal to men, and have careers equal to men, and to have lives with that are equal to men, that is a sacrifice. Temple Bailey wrote about mothers in a piece called A Mother's Way. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. "Is this way long?" "Yes," her guide said, "and the way is hard. You will be old before you reach the end of it. But," he stopped to smile warmly, "the end will be better than the beginning." The young mother was so happy, though, that she could not believe anything could be better than these early years. She played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way and bathed them in the clear streams. The sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young mother cried, "Nothing will ever be lovelier than this." Then came night and storm, and the path was dark. The children shook with fear and cold, and the mother drew them close, covering them with her mantle. Her children said, "Oh, mother, we are not afraid when you are near." The mother said, "This is better than the brightness of day, for I have taught my children courage." Then the morning came, and there was a hill ahead. The children climbed and grew weary. The mother was weary too, but she kept encouraging her children, "A little patience, and we are there." So the children continued to climb. When they reached the top, they said, "We could not have done it without you, mother." And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked past the stars and said, "This is a better day than the last. My children have learned fortitude in the face of difficulty. Yesterday I taught them courage. Today I have taught them strength." With the next day came strange clouds that darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. The children groped and stumbled. The mother said, "Look up. Lift your eyes past the blackness to the light." The children looked up and saw an everlasting glory above the strange clouds. It guided them and brought them through the darkness and the evil. That night the mother said, "This is the best day of all, for I've helped my children learn to see God." The days went on, and the weeks and the months and the years. The mother grew old until she was very little and bent. But her children were tall and strong, and they walked with courage. When the way was hard, they helped their mother. When the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was as light as a feather. At last, they came to a hill, and beyond the hill they could see a shining road and a golden gate flung wide. The mother said, "I have reached the end of my journey. Now I know that the end really is better than the beginning. For my children can walk alone, and they will teach their children after them." The children said, "You will always walk with us, mother, even when you have gone through the gates." They stood and watched her as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. They said, "We can't see her, but she is still with us, and a mother like ours is more than a memory." Self-sacrifice is the highest form of love. Jesus said in John chapter 1 and in verses 17 and 18, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The self-sacrifice of a mother is a vivid example of Father God's love for us. Of all the people on earth or above the earth, God understands a mother's sacrifice. He sacrificed his only son, Christ Jesus, because he loves us with divine love. The highest and the truest love, a love that is beyond our understanding, but a love that, as we experience it more every day, as we look to God the Father to teach us what true love is, to understand that true love is sacrificial love and that it's godly love. That's what draws us ever closer to God. That's what causes us to be able to be sacrificial in our love. That's the kind of love that we see in godly mothers. Will you be a living sacrifice to God today? If we can help you toward that end, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.